All right, that was fun, amen. Yay, happy Father's Day to everyone again, and I'm hoping to be able to use some of those reps this week for sure. Yeah, I'm thinking what I'm gonna smoke now. What are those things reps good for? Are they good for everything or? Yeah, pretty much? Okay, all right. Awesome. Well, I'm excited this morning because we're entering into a new series on Proverbs this week. Now, next week, Pastor our overseer Jason's going to actually teach next week, but not on Proverbs, but just using the theme of Hume Lake a little bit. And so that's going to be a standalone. But for the next, you know, month or two, we're going to be really dive deep into the book of Proverbs and just learning, you know, what God has for us in terms of practical living, right? How can we be wise, you know? And I know that for me, one of the things of becoming a father is like, man, it's so humbling. You know, like, wow, it's like the most awesome thing. At the same time, it's like the most, like, stressful thing. And at night, sometimes you're like, man, what am I doing, you know? I remember when Timmy first came home, and I used to try to put him to sleep at night, you know, by walking up and down the stair. That's the one way that I found, right, that he would do it. But one night, like, regardless of how many times I've gone up and down the stair, he would not sleep, you know. And I'm, like, at a point where I'm, like, literally, like, I'm going to scream, you know, and pull out my hair in the middle of the night. And then I'm, like, God, please help. And all of a sudden, Timmy just goes, you know. And there's moments like that in fatherhood where you're just like, God, please give me extra grace. You know, and I think as I was praying this morning, one of the things that God's really put in my heart is that for fathers out there, like, God loves you guys. God really do. God cares for you. God knows the struggle that you're facing, right? Some of the decision that's on your mind. And the message this morning is that God's grace is going to help us, you know, to be better follower of Jesus, but also hopefully to be better mom, better dad, better sisters, better just people in general, right? And one of the things that that I've learned from you know, wisdom is that sometimes you have to make a lot of mistakes to learn them, but you can also learn from other people's mistakes, right? And the book of Proverbs is great because it's a collection of really well lived, not just great information, but people actually have lived these out, and they have observed how it works, right? And then they wrote them down, and they were collected and codified for us so that we could actually learn from other people's mistake. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to look at today is really the core principle, the foundation of Proverbs, right? And it's the Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. And we're going to talk a little bit about the fear of the Lord this morning as the foundation of wisdom. Right? But just to share a story, a couple years back, maybe 3 years now, I took a team of men from our church back then to go up to Paradise. It's a town that experienced the fire, devastating fire. And we were helped build these tiny homes for the people who didn't have house. And so we were really gung-ho. We got a team. We went up there. And then one of the projects we had to do is that we had to climb up this, like, maybe 10-foot-high mobile home thing and start working on the roof. So one of my friend, Dean Jesse, looked at me. He's like, hey, Chin, I think what we're going to need to do is build a platform up, you know, up there. So then, you know, we need to lay up some wood and make a makeshift platform so we can actually stand up there and start hammering some nail, you know, and all those things. So I'm like, okay, I don't know how any of these work. I'm just going to trust you, right? And so he's like, oh, don't worry. I got this. And so then I just start following him. We start cutting some 2x4, and we start laying them across. And then we found this piece of wood that was large enough that where we could put it across, and then we got a ladder and start climbing up and start working. And we were, like, doing an amount of good work. And then I heard someone say, lunch is ready, right? And I'm like, yes, pizza is here. Right? So I stood up and start, you know, but they're like, well, Chin, no, you need to come down here now and pay for the lunch, right? Because we don't have money. So then I'm like, okay. And then I start hurrying, and then all of a sudden, bam, I went crashing down. And the next thing I knew was I was laying on the ground, right? And then Dean Jesse like crashed right on top of me. He's like, you know, 170 pounds or something. And the next thing I knew was like, I'm looking around and there's like nails everywhere. I'm like, oh my gosh, is everything okay? And people start running over. They're like, Chin, are you okay? Are you okay? Right? And then I look up and I'm like, how's my face? Right? They're like, oh, it's pretty beat up. You know, you got some scratches, right? And then we're like, hey, Dean, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I think so. You broke my fall, you know? And then I look around. I'm like, oh, man, I got a huge scratch. I have a scar right here. You know, that's still, you can still see it if you look hard enough. Right? And then they start checking to see if there's any punctures because there were nails everywhere on the ground. And thank God, by the mercy of God, you know, there's nothing. Right? And I was able to get back up and put some Band-Aids on, start working again. But one of the things that we learned through that experience is that we check again to see what went wrong, right? Like, how did this happen? Okay, we thought this was a fail-proof plan, you know? And one of the things that we discovered is that one of the 2x4 that we used had a huge knot in it. Right? And I didn't know much about wood or anything like that, right? And so I just trusted Dane to check, but he forgot to check. Right, and one of those knots in the wood compromised the strength of the wood, right, and it caused it to, you know, and too much of our weight was on it, and so when I got up and started walking, right, I actually put pressure onto that knot, and it didn't hold up my weight, right? And so from now on, that's a lesson that if I've ever go and built something like that, the first thing I'm gonna check is there knot in the wood, right? And I'm going to make sure that I relay that, I pass on that, you know, knowledge to the next person I know. Hey, before we build this, let's make sure the wood is good. Right? And I think that's something that we could learn also from the life of King Solomon, who is the wisest man who ever lived. Right? And he collected all these wisdom for us so that we could learn from his mistake as well. Now, one of the challenge, though, of reading the book of Proverbs is that it can be like a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle. It's like random. Some of the Proverbs are not in sync with each other. It seems like, man, why is this Proverbs about money one moment, and the next thing is like about raising family, and then the next thing is about, you know, using your work wisely. There's no like interconnection, right? And so how many of you guys have put together a puzzle before? Right? Probably most of you. Okay, what's the most... just shout it out. How many pieces is the most that you've ever put together? 2,000? 1,000 for someone? Anyone? 3,000? No? 2,000 is the most I've heard? How big is that puzzle? I mean, like, that's a lot of pieces, right? And one of the strategy, though, of building, putting together a puzzle like that is the first thing you have to do is identifying the corners pieces, right? And then from there you build, what, a frame, right? The outside part of it. And Jonathan's like shaking. He's like, that's not how I built my puzzle. I don't know, man. Maybe you gotta, we gotta talk, right? And then the next thing you kind of do is it's helpful to look at the picture, right? To actually have the box there and see the patterns and see the, you know, the shapes and colors. And then hopefully the colors are not so similar that you could actually identify the colors and beginning to group them together. And then slowly and meticulously go about trying to put them in pieces. Now, I think that's a good way to read the book of Proverbs, right? That, you know, you arrange them by topics. Okay, now, there's so many topics in the book of Proverbs, but with Google, you know, you can just Google them, right? Proverbs on money, and they'll pop up a list for you. Now, I don't encourage that you have to memorize all these Proverbs, right? Pick one. Pick one and beginning to really meditate on it, really chew on it. Spend, you know, a good amount of time thinking about it. And then beginning to ask God, how does these things beginning to apply to my life? When I was a banker, right, one of the proverbs that really speak to money is diversification, right? Make sure when you don't put all the eggs in one basket, basically. That's one of the fundamental rule of investing, right? And so there's things like that you beginning to look at and beginning to really think hard at it. Now, there are times when that rule don't apply, right? But so you have to kind of know when that doesn't apply, right? And when it does apply. So it's not always a set rules that you always use it all the time, right? So I think that's one of the things challenging about learning about Proverbs is that it's contextual. Right? There's things that are promises in there, and there's a thing that are generally accepted as truth, but they don't necessarily work 100% of the time. For example, a proverb that you might hear a lot is raise a child in the way that he or she should go, and then later on he will not depart from it. Right? I mean, I think that's generally true, that if you teach your children at a young age certain values, right, you instill in them, you know, certain thing that you want them to grow up with, hopefully, most of the time, right, most likely the child will pick up those values, especially if you role model it, right, on a consistent basis. But does that mean that that child will always do that? Does that mean that that child will never, ever depart away from what you've taught? No, right? Because we all know, and we've all seen that, we all have experienced that there's prodigal children that, regardless how much you have taught them and pray for them, they have their own choices. And because they live in a fallen world where there's sins, where there's temptations, right, they do sometimes go off the beaten path. Right? So I just want to say that out there too as an encouragement to some of the parents, because sometimes you might look at a proverb like that and you go, well, Lord, does that mean that's my fault for not raising the child up in the way that he should go? That's why he turned up the way he is or she is, right? May not necessarily be, right? So breathe, right? Like, God has a lot of grace, and in that process, God is working in people's life. Now, this morning, I want to look at Proverbs 1:1-7. So let's go ahead and read it together. And I have it up there for you. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables. The sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So this morning, you know, we already see that these are the collections of wise sayings, right? Experienced things that people have lived out from Solomon, the son of David here. Now, back in those days, kings usually make a manual of some sort to pass on the knowledge and the wisdom that they have to the next person, the prince, the heir, right? And they would educate the next in line so that he could be competent to rule the nation. Right? And you find this in ancient Egyptian literature. They have that kind of proverbs type of collections. But notice that it's interesting when we study this out is that there is no specific name, right? That was saying, hey, Solomon, king, son of David, this is written for my son Rehoboam or something like that, right? Normally, in a lot of these Middle Eastern contexts, there usually be a name, right? The prince that is going to be taking over the kingdom, such and such. And I think the reason why partially is that the authors of the book of Proverbs want to democratize this teachings, right? So that everyone, right, not just the elite, not just the powerful, not just the one that is going to be in the royal court, will have access to this kind of education. Right? Not the Ivy Leagues, basically, or the Harvard or the Stanford, right? But it is supposed to be passed on to everyone in Israel, right? That everyone is supposed to learn how to fear God, how to live rightly, and how to act justly, right? And we see that this is basically the introduction and the purpose statement of the book of Proverbs, right? For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding the word of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent and behavior, and all of that, right? Ultimately, the ultimate purpose for all these instructions is that the person who learn and dedicate himself to put into practice these teachings will be a person that end up doing what is right and just and fair. So it's not just for us to have a lot of knowledge to say, oh yeah, I know what 2 plus 2 is 4, right? Or I know this fact about biology, or I know all these different field of knowledge, right? The way that wisdom works for the Bible is that it's supposed to transform us and transform our imagination and our heart desire so that we can actually love God more and love other people around us. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? Is that the ends of the commandment is to what? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, and so similarly, like the book of Proverbs has the same kind of goal in mind. Now let's look at the key themes here though, because I want to, for us to really see the richness of it. Right? God desires and to lead and guide us in practical and everyday living. Right, 1 Timothy 4:8, that talks about how godliness is good not only for eternal life, right, that lead us to heaven, right, because we know that the Bible teaches us how to have a relationship with God and how to obey God. But 1 Timothy 4:8 also tells us that godliness is beneficial for daily life, for daily living, in our interaction with each other, in your interaction with your parents, in your interaction with your spouses, in how you communicate to your superiors at work, right? How you communicate to the people that you're managing in your businesses. And then not only that, God desires for us to live a happy life. Isn't that beautiful? God wants you to be happy, right? God has designed life in such a way that there is supposed to be a sense of fulfillment, of blessings, right? Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man, such and such, right? Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but who trusts in the Lord, right? And then also the beatitude that Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, right? Blessed are those who are meek. Right? Blessed are the who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, the word blessed there can actually be translated as happily are those that seek after God. Happily are those that are righteous, are thirsty for righteousness. Right? So God wants you to have a life that is meaningful and happy. And not only that, God desires for us to live a useful or fruitful life. Right? Proverbs 3:27-28. As well as Proverbs 12:18. Right? Specifically, Proverbs 12:18 talks about how our lives is to be a healing, a source of healing for people around us. Isn't that cool? That through the experiences that you go through, the trials, the temptation, maybe even the failures that you have experienced, through the redemptive work of God in your life, you could actually be used by God to bring a word of encouragement, to bring a word of blessings, maybe even to walk someone through a very difficult season in life, right? And bring healing to people. Psalm chapter 1 also talks about that, how we are to bear fruit in all season. Now, as I was thinking that about it, you know, a tree, when it bears fruit, does the tree itself actually enjoys its own fruit? No, right? The tree actually bears fruit so that someone else can actually enjoy it. And that's what we're supposed to be. That when we are bearing fruit, it's just not about us. Like, oh, hey, look how righteous I am, how happy I am, how much money I have, or how prosperous I am. No, like, the goal of it is not about you, right? The goal of it in fearing God and acquiring wisdom is that in all of this, your life becomes, you know, abundant of blessings so that other people can go, hey, yeah, I love that, right? I want to enjoy what you know, can I share in what you have? Right, like one of the things that I've learned, like Jesse, during the last 2 years, is barbecuing. Right, and I'm probably not that good, but because I've been able to barbecue some, I have a friend that often comes to my house, probably like twice a week. Right, he would come and he just bring some meat, and we would just barbecue, and we would talk about his life and what's going on in his life, and we would talk about God, some of those conversations, right? And one of the things that's really neat as I was journeying with him the last 2 years, right, is that I was able to be a part and witness him quitting smoking right before COVID hit last year. He was really a heavy smoker and all that. And one day he looked at me, he's like, "Chin, I think this is not good for me. I don't think it's a wise thing." Right? And I'm like, "Yeah, you're probably right," you know? And so he's like, "Well, can you help me? You know, I want to commit to smoking, quitting smoking," right? And I'm like, "Yeah." You know, and I didn't do anything really. I was just there to encourage him and pray for him. And then through the whole process, he completely quit. Right? And so it's pretty neat, right? But part of that started because he knew that I can barbecue a little bit, and he wanted to learn how to barbecue. And so I was able to share that wisdom and knowledge with him. And not only that, the last key theme is God is the source of all wisdom. We're called to pursue right relationship with him. Jesus says, "Seek what ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added to you." And then finally, wisdom is available for those who diligently seek it and put it into practice. It's not something that just happened overnight. Right? Like, similarly, if you want to learn a new skill, you're not just going to wake up one day and have it. Right? You're going to have to plan some time out. You're going to go watch some YouTube videos, right? Maybe even spend some money getting the right gears, getting the right tools. You have to be very intentional about the act of learning. And then you might even have to get a coach, someone who's done it before, who can show you a thing or two about what you're doing. And then through all of that, by putting it into practice, you become someone that is wise, right? And the definition of a wise person or wisdom, according to the Bible, is someone who is skillful in godly living that honors God and blesses the community, leading to a flourishing life. I think there's three key components there, right? Skillful. Like, would you come to my house right now and you look at my pool, you're like, "Ooh, that's yucky." Right? You're right, because I have never gained the skill of cleaning the pool. Right, so I had to call someone and say, "Hey, could you actually come and help me fix the situation?" And they're like, "Yeah, but it's going to cost you some money." Right, and so I'm learning that, hey, if I don't know how to do something, I might want either learn it or be willing to pay up for it, right? Pay for someone who actually knows how to do it and take care of it. And so that's something that's really important. Skillful in a sense of like an artisan. Right? Like, well, some of you know Brent, who does briskets really, really well, right? That's something that he has practiced over and over and over. Many mistakes has been made in order for him to master that skill. And then another component is that it's not just skillful just for the sake so that we could brag about it, right? Skillful in living with the goal of honoring God, right? Of saying, "God, you are my creator. You're the one who has redeemed me. You're the one who have loved me. And so now I'm going to live my life in such a way that your name will be holy through my life." And then thirdly, again, I want to reemphasize that. It's not just about you, right? It's the goal is to make sure that you end up being a person who bring life and blessing to those around you, to your family, to your friends, to your church, to your community. And then once again, wisdom requires an intentional acquisition of knowledge. And the Bible defines that as correct understanding of God, of the Word, and of oneself. Right? And then through the book of Proverbs, we will see that humility, teachability, and trust are necessary in the quest for wisdom. And then ultimately, our true example of wisdom is none other than Jesus. And yet the Bible tells us that when Jesus was a young man, it talks about how he grew in wisdom. So even for Jesus as a human being living on this earth, he has to put things into practice. He has to acquire knowledge and skills, just like all of us do. And yet he's ultimately the one that gives us wisdom when we're in right relationship with God. Now, growing up, this was something very familiar to me because a lot of my uncle were carpenters, right? And so I would see them get wood and shave them with a planer like that, Right? And it's a simple tool, but in a skillful hand of someone who is a craftsman, they can turn a very normal-looking piece of wood into something that is gorgeous and beautiful. Right? And one of the key things that in working with wood is that they have to identify the grain of the wood, right? Which way the grain of the wood runs, because you want to work with the grain and not against the grain, right? And so that's something that was really interesting. And so I think wisdom is like that, right? Like a skilled carpenter, it's living wisely, right? Living wisely is the process of discovering the grain of the universe, and skillfully and patiently brings beauty out of life. Right? And here's one of my favorite. If you're looking for advice for barbecuing, this is the guy. His name is Harry Sue. Right? He experiment on barbecue like no one else does. Right? And so maybe, like, wisdom is like cooking a piece of tri-tip, learning how the meat works, right? How it actually runs, the grain of the meat runs, right? And how to treat it and how to actually cut it the proper way, okay? So, and then bring something beautiful out of it, that piece of meat. Now, lastly, I just want to talk a little bit about the fear of the Lord here at the very end, because it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I think coming back to the puzzle pieces, right? The analogy of the puzzle, how it needs a frame, right? And you need to beginning to find the corner pieces. Well, the fear of the Lord, I think, is one of those corner pieces in our relationship with God and in the process of learning wisdom, right? And the fear of the Lord, by definition, is this: is whole speech the designs and order of God, who created the world, who redeemed Israel, and who gave them the law, and who is redeeming them from their corruption and sin. Right? The fear of the Lord, first of all, is acknowledging that we're not just machines. Right? That God actually created us for a purpose. Right? And because God created us, He has a manual, an operating manual for life, called the Bible, right? Full of wisdom in there. And from that, we could honor God by learning what the Word of God teaches about who He is and about who we are and about how we're to live in God's Word. Now, there's two kind of fear, right? The first one is this one, right? Where we're like, when the police car come up right behind you, like, oh no, did I do something wrong? Right? Because that person has authority to punish you. So you're afraid of that person. Right? Now, the Bible does not saying like that. That's not something that God doesn't do. He does. He punished the wicked. Right? And there's a healthy fear and trembling before God when we know that he's a holy God. He's a moral God. Right? And that He chastised and He disciplined us because we're His children, because He's, as our Father, wants us to live a holy life. Right, so this aspect of who God is, that is, you know, we're to fear Him because He's holy. Okay, so kind of like the police car. But there's also awe and wonder. Right? That's like the most expensive Ferrari that was sold, I think, in 2019. I think called a Veneno or something like that. And it's like, when it was sold, it was over $7 million. I think a little bit more if you do the conversion from English pound. But if one of those cars slowly drive by you, right, you're going to have a certain like awe and wonder at it. Like, wow, that's a piece of art, right? For guys anyway, I don't know for women, you know. But for me, I would be like, wow, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to take it in. Right? In the same similar way, God is like that, right? God is so full of love and grace and mercy and goodness and all these other attributes that you go, whoa, God, you are amazing. I stand in awe of you and your presence. I stand in awe of your love for me. I stand in awe of your mercy and of your goodness and of all the things that you have done for me in my life. And because of that, I love you. Like, I love and revere my dad because I know how much my dad cares and loves for me. Right? So those two ideas of the fear of God are to be combined together in our Christian walk with God. I'm going to skip a few things here, but I just want to say something here in Psalm 1, verse 4, say that, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Right? Like that just really jumped out to me this last week when I was preparing this. You know, and I'm going to go ahead and have the worship team come up now in this moment as we prepare our heart to end the service here. And to, one of the things that in my own walk with the Lord, right, and what I've realized is that, especially when since I've become a father, is God has revealed to me even more, you know, how much I need Him in my own walk with Him, right? And I continue to discover my weaknesses, areas of weaknesses and failures and sins, right? In the way that I react to Timmy, right? Or when he doesn't listen to me, or in the way that I react to my wife when things don't go the way that I see it should go, right? We all have certain areas of weakness and temptations and selfishness and pride, right? And so it's been such a humbling journey for me. And in that humbling journey, one of the things that I constantly find myself is asking God for forgiveness. Say, Lord, would you help me? I know I didn't respond well with the way that, you know, that I handled that situation with Timmy. I got angry at him when I shouldn't have, right? Or I was short with Rachel when I should have been more supportive to her. And in those moments, I discover the continual love of God, of His forgiveness, of His cleansing, and of His encouragement. Say, hey, Chin, yeah, I love you. I'm here for you. Let me help you. Let me teach you. Learn from your mistake. Learn from your lessons. Right? And from that, my fear for God doesn't lessen. Right? My fear for God and my love for Him continue to grow deeper and deeper because He loves me so very much. Right? As the worship team lead us in worship this morning, let's go ahead and stand together before the Lord.